record. So anytime you're ready, you go right ahead.
Okay. I think it's important when we think about the church and moving forward as a church body and as a community, that we really look at, again, what is the foundation, what is the basis for our church and our faith, and that those be the guiding principles that help us move forward as a people and as a church. I know in my own life, I'm constantly aware of that and thinking about how am I living my life based on my principles and my values and really the core of what defines who I am. And so, you know, as we're talking about this topic in the church and offering thoughts on how can we help our church move forward, as Deacon Pilati mentioned previously, even in thinking about how can we help our church as an institution move forward, I think one of the important questions is how are we helping one another in our community? Because being church is being in community, being with one another. How are we helping one another move forward as a body of one in our church? And for me, it really goes back to looking at what is the most compassionate, what is the most loving thing to do when we look at moving our church forward. And so on this topic, I would say, and I feel strongly that when we look at love and compassion, for me, love is truly embracing a person where they are and helping then people to move forward to where they feel called, using their gifts and using that fully. And so when we look at our church then as a community, how then are we doing that in the programs that we set up and the outreach that we do to folks and to people and with people? How are we keeping that in mind as we do outreach and move forward? And just as an example, you know, for me, it's important any time that I'm working within our ministry, our Open Heart GLBT ministry at our church community, to think about the people that are invited in or that may come to our ministry. What do they need, and how can I and we minister to them, be with them, to support them in love, to provide what they really need, what they may be searching for, and then help them to continue to bring all that they are and their gifts to the community, back to the community, so it flourishes and it grows and it builds upon what we started. And so I think, you know, I think that's so important to continually ask ourselves, how are we doing that? And the programs and the methods and the activities that we're doing, any of us in our ministry, church ministry, how are we really going back to what, to encouraging people and acting out of love? And for me, love is really about loving a person in totality and where they are, and not in segmentation or part of them. And I think that's the real issue that we have when we look at the church, the institutional church today, in saying, well, we love you as a gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgendered or with whatever reality is yours, we love you, but then the love feels segmented. It feels like it falls short. And I hear that time and time again when I talk to people, that it feels false. There's a certain falseness to that feeling of, we love you, and so come, be with us, but don't really be who you are. Or the essence of who you are lived out is not validated, is not supported. And that's where I feel that whole concept of love and unconditional love that Jesus really perfects in his life and his ministry we need to embrace that as a people all together. And how much more strengthened would we be as a church if we could all come together on that and really live that out and say, we're not going to love to a certain point and then decide the rest of it is not good enough or not valid enough to love or to bring in. But we're going to love unconditionally and completely. We're not going to love with conditional questions or conditional judgments that come in halfway or some part along the way, but we're going to love in completion, in totality. And I think that is just what we need right now as a church to help us move forward, is for us to come together as one. One of the elements that I mentioned earlier is of our Catholic faith is one. The idea of one, that wherever you are across the world, that there are certain things in our faith that bring us, that are in common, that hold us together, whether it's part of the Mass, whether it's the prayer that we offer together, through the sacraments that we believe and partake in and experience in one another and when we come together, that sense of being one, if we could come together and be one on this issue and really every issue that the church is facing today, we would all be strengthened by that. And so that would be my prayer for our church moving forward, is that we could come together on this notion of being one and embracing unconditional love, embracing people as we are, and really, you know, the church has come part of the way as an institution to say, well, we believe that people are born that are gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, whatever the reality, whatever the differences may be, that yes, that is a reality, that is the truth. Now we need to take the next step. We need to take a step out in love and not in fear to say, and yes, having recognized that, this is how we live that out. This is how we live that out as a church, together and with one another. And if we can do that, I think we'll see things flourish, we'll see things grow, and we'll invite people back to the church who in their hearts have been there all along, but have felt distant because of this halfway love that we see, I think, oftentimes. The group in particular, the Courage Group, you know, welcoming people in and welcoming families, and that sense of, okay, now we can truly belong. We have a place to belong. And then only to find out afterwards down the line, okay, but now we have another crisis because my son or daughter has a partner. They're in a committed relationship. They, you know, that is instrumental to their life and who they are. Now, how do we deal with that? Because this church and this program is not supportive of that part. So I can love them, and that's kind of what I was getting to when I said I can love them halfway, but some of the way, but not completely in who they are. So, yeah, that was one of the main things while I listened to him that came to me, and I just thought, you know, I initially was somewhat worried that if parents did hear that or listen to that and they didn't really have a lot of experience or a lot of support or networking within the church, and they thought, oh, wonderful, this is a place now that we can go to where we can really be embraced by the church, only to find out that it's one particular, it's embracing in a particular, one particular way.
Right.
And it's not including, really, it's not looking at the whole picture of life for people. So that was, that was one of the things that I particularly made note of while I was listening.
Yeah.
Let me just see.
Yeah.
I made a note about looked at our, as a society, how far we've moved in that homosexuality many, many years ago was a pathology, was considered pathology, and then in the 1970s, I believe, or early 80s, was taken out of the DSM-IV.
Yeah.
And because, just because we had found more information, more research was done, more lived experience, and that was enough to show that it's not a pathology. It's a reality. It's a way of life for people, just as much as heterosexuality is, and it's just as valid and just as healthy. So I had written a note about that, and I'm not sure if, that would be important to include somehow, but the move and because Deacon Pilate spoke about, as we gather more information,
right,
and we gather more evidence, that helps our church move forward. Well, this evidence has been there for decades,
yeah,
to show that there indeed is nothing unhealthy or less than from people that are homosexual rather than heterosexual. So, you know, that, yeah, is a new discovery that's been for decades.
In fact, you know, looking back on my performance, in quotes, with him, I regret kind of letting him posit homosexuality in that frame of something that, oh, it's not your fault, Mom and Dad.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed so negative, and I chafed against it at the time, and I should have called him on it. But I thought, oh, I'm just going to let the guy say his piece, you know?
Yeah, and that was important. I don't think it was any shortcoming of you. I think you were just opening up the dialogue. And
yeah, but so I think it's good for you to say that. That, you know what?
To add that in. Okay, I'd like to maybe add that part in.
Okay. Anything else?
I don't think so. I think, you know, I think together, hopefully my prayer is that I've shared what needs to be shared.